Blog Talk Radio.
This is Taino right here, Taino Sagrado, a.k.a. Sanacori. And I'm here in Lenny Lapi territory in New York City. I got a special show today. This is the Paranormal Power Hour with Spooky Lou. This power, normal power hour. Where is he? He's missing in action, Spooky Lou. I just got off the phone, went straight to voicemail. He was hanging out. We all know he lives in Las Vegas. He was checking out Area 51. I have not heard from him for the past hour. This is not good. This is not good. I keep telling him not to go over there, not to go to Area 51, especially during election time. But check this out. Like always, we have Stephanie Sky. Stephanie, how you doing?
Hey, Sanacori.
All right. I keep telling Spooky Lou, don't go to Area 51. You're going to get in trouble.
You know,
he always... You know, I tell him, the show's going to start in 1 hour. I left him a voicemail just right before the show time. And he was still in the Area 51. Maybe the Wi-Fi is not good around that. You know, he was taking some pictures for the show. So, I don't know. Also, I just hired a new special road reporter, okay? And, again, I'm having issues with the road reporter. What's going on? Is this abductions going on? This is amazing, man. This is crazy. We got to continue this, the Star People show. We got to call it because everyone's getting abducted. What do you think, Stephanie?
I mean, there's definitely some investigation we have to do on our end.
Yeah. Well, you know, last week I heard from Lou Star. He sent me an email saying that he hasn't been arrested, that he's been on the road following some paranormal activity, different towns in the Midwest. He's in Wisconsin right now. So he said he was going to, you know, he was going to call in. But, again, I haven't heard from him. So, you know, instead of hiring Lou's, we got to hire Samantha's or something.
Samantha's? Juan? Juan's here or there?
Is if there is a spooky Samantha somewhere in the United States or anywhere in the world, please, please write us at thainosagrado@gmail.com. Hey, I just want to let all you viewers know, or you listeners out there who are listening to us. This is Wasabara Taino Radio, and we dedicate every Monday to paranormal. Okay. The Power Hour, and we're going to have Spooky Lou. Hopefully, he's on his way back home from Area 51. Giving him, I want to give a special shout out for all you live listeners who are listening, and for all you future listeners who are in the future downloading the show. All shows are archived. Stephanie, check it out. I was looking at the statistics of the countries that are tuning in, And it's just amazing. Bosnia keeps
Bosnia.
Tuning in.
Hey, Bosnia.
Bosnia, Morocco, Nigeria, you know.
Hey, Nigeria.
We also have, and the Netherlands, they're right after the United States of America, statistic-wise. Then you always have the great Canada, the home of many First Nations there. Colombia has been tuning in. So you Colombianos out there, escuchando, muchas gracias. That's one of the homelands. Yep, Dominican Republic and Borinquen have been side to side tuning in as well in our shows.
DR.
Yep, and I can't forget Belgium. That's right.
Belgium.
So check it out, man. We're international. We dedicate every Monday to paranormal. I've been getting some calls from people who want to talk about, not calls, but emails from people who found the show last week very interesting about demons and so on. And a lot of people said they never forgot when they first watched The Exorcist. You know, and the new generation thought it was corny, you know. So I'm like, what? You know, back in the 70s, when that show came out, you know, I read a book about The Exorcist, the movie. And what it said is the first time in this major theaters that they show a movie like that. And it says that many, many Christians and Catholics in the United States, by the millions, people actually left the movie theater halfway throughout the movie, you know, vomiting and getting really sick and scared. I read a book about the phenomena of The Exorcist. Yeah, isn't that amazing? So
yeah, I read that.
Yeah. And as we know, you know, when you tied it in the Native American indigenous culture, a lot of indigenous do accuse the Christian churches of infiltrating their communities and bringing in the concept of demons and the devil. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't exist in indigenous culture.
Right.
So it's always... It's always an ongoing battle with that. What do you think about that, Stephanie Sky?
Well, I definitely think that it's a valid point. Prior to contact, indigenous people did not have a version of hell and the devil and, anything past the creator and the duality aspect they did have. But it was never, you know, hell and heaven, angels, demons. It was always the creator and nature and naturalism and holistic, everything just being holistically and organically put together. So,
right.
Once they made, the Europeans made contact, everything started to shift. And it wasn't by choice. It wasn't by integration. It was by force. So naturally, at this day and age, when we have so many of our indigenous people who are consistently battling for their sovereignty and the right to practice their beliefs, in safe ways and in safe spaces, it's going to be natural for them to always want to resist that idea of, you know, that was forced on me and I don't have to, you know, acknowledge it. But then we do have some of our indigenous and even sovereign nations that do acknowledge Christianity and, you know, that's how they choose
right.
to practice their levels of spirituality now. And neither is wrong. It's all preference. But we can't disregard the fact that our indigenous people, some of them, don't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what it is. You know, Guasavana Radio, it's about war against ignorance and arrogance. But one thing that we do understand and we empower people in Guasavala Radio is that, you know, we don't declare war on religions, you know. We try to present the influences what occurred after 1492. And actually, we were the devils. The Taino people, the indigenous people were the devils according to Spanish eyes. You know, the semi worship, you know, the ancestral veneration, you know, having bones in the gore and our bojillos. You know, all that, you know, European lenses, you know, they saw that as pagan pagan, it's like Satanist, you know. So, you know, it was a huge clash, as you could imagine.
To them, it was heresy.
Yeah, exactly. And this is during the high Middle Ages, in the height of the Inquisition. So anyone caught doing any form of non-Christian activity, wow, they were tortured. You know, they were put to the torture rack.
Everything after Pope Urban II turned into that. Everyone was labeled as, you know, being part of heresy, you know, and that's when they moved from, originally it was Protestant, and then they conformed to Catholicism because of Pope Urban II and his ideas and his push with the military and, you know, everything that just came with it.
Exactly. You know, there's a story in our oral tradition about Hathaway, Cacique Hathaway, who was one of the Matuharis, one of the sub-chiefs that lived in what we call Haiti today. And he went to Cuba. According to the tradition, he went to Cuba to warn his relatives there and about the Spanish, that they were not friendly, they weren't gods. You know, there was a theory that the early Taino people, that first generation, thought they may have, they would have been gods, I like to say star people, you know, because they came out of nowhere, you know, this whole concept of star people. But that's another show. But but definitely, you know, different species, you know. We know they were humans. But what happened was Hathaway was captured, and he was burned to the stake in the traditional medieval, you know, torturing. But what happened was, according to the story, before he was burned, there was a friar who came to, I guess, in a tradition, you know, ask for confession, listen to confession before they die. And he told him that, you know, you can be baptized, and you can go to heaven. And then Hathaway probably understood that as, you know, guave. You know, if he understood what the friar said, probably he didn't, you know, maybe he didn't know. I don't know if he knew Spanish or the friar knew that dialect of Taino, but according to the history, you know, oral tradition and some historical documents, Hathaway asked them if they were going to meet Spaniards there, you know, and he said the good ones will be there. And then he said, well, I'd rather go to hell, you know. But and there's another story about, you know, that, you know, did he know about the concept of hell, you know? So most likely it was, he didn't want to go anywhere. He wanted to go everywhere else but where the Spanish were, right? But he probably didn't say hell. He probably had a concept of hell, you know, whatever. But that was probably added on by the historians, you know, the Spanish historian. But, you know, you look in North America, too. You look in indigenous, you know, we see the stories of the coyote, old man coyote, kind of being like a trickster, also being a little villain there. Mm-hmm. I think that's the closest you can get. But, you know, coyote, old man coyote was always, he was the teacher, you know, he's a teacher. Through his contrary ways, he taught the people a valuable lessons, you know. So you can't really call him demonic or a demon, you know.
So in that capacity, right, let me ask you, would you consider the story and the significance of what the coyote is similar to what the serpent was to Adam and Eve?
Right. Wait, Adam and Eve, say that again? I didn't hear that.
The serpent that addressed Eve in the Garden of Eden, would you compare that, or would that be even comparable? One to the other.
Well, you know, it's
the way the coyote is
serpent,
to the North Americans, and that to the serpent.
Well, you know what's interesting? You bring that up. In my seminarian years, I had to study the Old Testament. I mean, the Hebrew scriptures. I had to study it at least a good 3 years. Wow! And I remember we used the original text, what the Hebrews use, the Jewish people use. Not the Christian version. Huh?
Oh, okay. No, I was asking if it was the book of the Torah. Of the actual Torah.
Yeah, it's the Torah, but it's a Hebrew translation. It's not the Christian. It was a Christian translation of the Torah from the Greek, from the Hebrew to the Greek. But the original Hebrew, I don't know if you know this, but when Eve received the communication, you know, from the snake, the snake was actually the bearer of wisdom. And actually Eve was receiving wisdom, which was when humanity for the first time received his intellect, received that, you know, they are almost superior than animals and all creatures, you know. That's when they have the spirit, the soul, you know. It's a Hebrew interpretation, you know. So they kind of, and then the Christians, the early fathers, who translated these texts to the Greek, they kind of changed it around. You know, you can say they messed it up, you know, but that was the, you know, first 300 years of the church, you know, AD. Mm-hmm. That's what they did to fix their narrative, you know,
right.
So they could connect to what their faith tradition, what they were trying to teach the people. But the original Hebrew, the snake was good, you know. And it's interesting that it was the woman that was given the knowledge, you know. Not the man, it was the woman. So that's why women are always...
History,
yeah, that's the women received this knowledge. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, when I first learned that, I was like, wow, that's interesting. You know, and I even asked the professor, who's Jewish scholar, I said, man, are you offended that they just took a whole text and they just switched it around? He said, no, that's what people do. You know, that's what people do. This is what the ancient people did. You know, so they could preach, you know, they can teach their beliefs, you know. And he actually said he was honored that they chose the Hebrew scriptures. But I don't know, it's difficult. So, but within those Hebrew textures, I mean, you know, the scriptures, you have, you know, concept of angels. You know, last week we talked about demons. And Spooky Lou wanted to talk today about angels, the existence of angels. And how does that fit in the indigenous narrative? So what do you think about that, angels?
So I have a very specific notion of what I think angels would be, and I don't know if I can necessarily say that they're all messengers of God, because I know some religions and some spiritual systems believe that angels are the messengers of God, the ones who receive the information and bring it down to the people. But that's never sat well with me, because if that's the case, then everybody would and should be able to encounter an angel at least once in their life. And most people claim that they don't, you know. So I definitely believe that there are some form of messengers that come about and provide wisdom and intellect, similar to how our indigenous people believe in our ancestors. You know, we pray to the ancestors and we meditate and listen to, you know, what the ancestors whisper to us, what the ancestors have to say to us. And I definitely feel that my personal perspective of what an angel is and what an ancestor is kind of crosses somewhere in the center.
Wow.
So, that's, like I said, my personal opinion. But I know other people
are
listening like, oh my goodness, that's, you know, that's blaspheme, that's blasphemous. But, you know, it you can't really discredit the spiritual aspect of it. If angels are messengers from God and you pray to God and God reveals his wisdom to you in signs or in the form of angels, in the form of good Samaritans, right?
Right.
And indigenous people do the same. And, you know, they pray to the ancestors, they pray to what we would, you know, do ceremony for Atabe and look for signs, you know, whether it's how the wind blows and the way that we end up turning the corner and bumping into somebody that has a message for us, or we see something, we're given something in some capacity, they're still messages. It's still the same concept. So I definitely think that the idea of angels is very possible, especially because everything has duality. So if we're talking last week about demons and, you know, malevolent spirits and, you know, things that have bad nature and capacities to them, then there has to be a balance to that. What is the balance? Why can't it be angels?
Are you with me there? Did I lose you?
No, I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I went back to my old, like I said, I used to be a Franciscan Capuchin, and I studied theology, wow, for a good 10 years, a good 10 years. And
10 years? Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? But in the Christian belief system, you know, it's rooted, huh?
Impressive. Not crazy, but impressive.
Oh, man. Well, you know, the first Christians were actually Jewish. So what the first Jewish community did, wait, I don't think I said thank you. I'm sorry for your statement. but
no problem.
I survived. I'm still alive. Nah. But basically, no, I learned a lot, especially about, you know, spirituality, you know. And what happened was, these early Jewish people, like I said, they looked in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, and they tried to make a connection between that tradition and Jesus, you know, as a continuation of the old Hebrew Messiah movement, you know. But in the book of Enoch, chapter 20, it talks about 7 holy angels. And even to this day, you know, in the Caribbean culture, a lot of these angels are still, you know, very strong in the belief system. And you don't even have to be Christian. For example, the Archangel Michael, you know, he mm-hmm. plays a big role, right? In not only Christianity, but in Santeria, right? And Spiritismo.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he's famous for, do you know the photo of St. Michael a lot of people have in their homes in the Caribbean? You know that picture?
With the sword in his hand.
Yeah, he looks like a Roman soldier with the with the sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
in everybody's house in the Caribbean.
Yeah. And he's stepping on Satan, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's stepping on Satan, so that's... I believe one of the Orishas in the African way have is named after St. Michael.
In Yoruba?
In
Yoruba?
Yeah, Yoruba, right. And there's also another archangel. There's Raphael, and there's Gabriel.
And
Gabriel
Gabriel,
he was very, when I was growing up, I went to St. Gabriel, so that was very popular, seeing that image. And then Uriel, Sacawel, Raquel, and believe it or not, can you think of the 7th one that's very famous?
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot.
Yeah, this is... If any listeners out there want to call in, name that 7th angel, very popular angel. You can call in if you want at 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. It's right on the website. If you want to hook it up on blocktalkradio.com/ Guasavara 1491. So you know what? I'm just going to give a pause there. I'll let you think. But don't look it up. Don't go on Google, all right?
I'm trying to remember the ones that we said. I know we said Uriel, Raphael, Michael, Eliphiel, you said. Right?
Sarah Quayle, right? Rich,
and then
Rachel.
Gabriel.
Or Raquel, yeah. There's one more.
Baraciel. I know that one.
This one is very popular. You know, growing up, also in the different Western European, different Earth-based religions believe in angels, right? They talk about angels.
Right.
I believe in, you know, about, what do they call it? The Druid Society, the Druid religion, I believe, talk about angels, no?
I think they do.
And what was the other one? Oh, boy, I can't think of it now. I'm going blank. Oh, wow.
Well, I know that aside from Judaism and Christianity, mm-hmm. Islam also is based off of angels. They have a concept of angels and demons. So does Zoroastrianism. They also have angels and demons, the concept of it. Islam, the Quran is actually, the angels play a major role in the Quran because it was the angels
nice.
Came to Muhammad, you know,
that's
during
right.
his time seeking knowledge and information.
Oh, interesting. I know the Druid tradition, they talk about angels and different, but I can't think of the other, Ireland, the Irish, they had their, what was their indigenous religion in Ireland before Catholicism? Can you remember that? I can't think of it. I can't believe it.
Celtic?
If there's anyone out there that can help us out,
the Celtic?
515. Huh? The Celtics.
Celtic?
That's right. The Celtics. Didn't they have the whole concept of angels as well? The Celts?
They may have. They
yeah,
may
see,
have.
This is where Spooky Lou was going to give a little insight about that. But he's still in Area 51. I'll tell you. How many times I tell him to stop doing that before the show? But, well, there is a company called...
Because I know they have a symbol, a very specific Celtic of an angel. So I definitely think they did have a concept of Celtic angels.
Right. Yeah. So it seems like a lot of these world religions, especially the most bigger ones, have this whole concept about angels. And what are angels? That's the key. What are angels? And do they exist in Native America or in Caribbean, Taino? What do you think? Well, what would be a definition of angel again?
I guess my personal definition of an angel is a being of some sort that provides otherworldly, predetermined information, advice, or guidance. That I guess is my most general idea of what an angel can be. But I know that the different sects of Christianity and Judaism, mm-hmm. they have different ideas of what angels could be. There are some who, like the Latter-day Saints, they believe that angels are messengers of God and they're sent to mankind to like deliver messages and minister and teach salvation and guide people, and that they were either like the spirits of humans that have died the spirits of the children that haven't been born yet. Cause you know, some people believe that children inherit spirits and then they're birthed with them and they continue on. But they also believe that a angel can be somebody who has been resurrected, or somebody who has died and then has come back, can come back as a messenger of God or an angel per se.
Oh, wow.
And that's the, like I said, the Latter-day Saints. And then the new church, the Swedenborgianism, they believe
uh-huh.
that angels are all in human forms. So they're human forms with spiritual bodies. And all of the angels originate from the human race. So no angel is completely created from just stardust and cosmic energy. They are flesh first. They have to be of body to then end up being an angel. They have to have that material body first, and each angel would perform services that they formed in their earthly life. So if you were a healer in your earthly life as an angel, you provide salvation to those who need it, which, like I said, I thought that was pretty interesting. And then we have, what was it? We were talking about Judaism. And mm-hmm. in Judaism, they have the Malik, I don't remember exactly how they used to call it. Malik Elohim, I think is what they call it, and those are the messengers of God in Judaism. I believe that's in the Torah. part of the Torah itself. And then, like I said before, in the Quran also has angels, and they also call them Malik. So we see there how the integration between the two different, completely different religions still find a way to share something similar. So Judaism and the Quran, you know, people who practice Islam, they share the same word for angel. And then the Christianity aspect, you know, in the Christian faith and Judaism, they share the same concept of the hierarchy of angels, angels themselves, archangels, angels being messengers, and, you know, the workers of God. So we can see, we can make a good, you know, dot-to-dot connection through all of the religions that we have here, all of these Abrahamic-type religions. But then the question comes into, how do we tie that into the spirituality of the indigenous?
Right. And that's the thing. I know in Caribbean culture, which we're from, Puerto Rico, angels, I know my upbringing definitely played a major role. I remember my great-grandmother, who was a Piritita, she used to have a photo of the guardian angel. So she always used to teach me that there's always a guardian angel with you. And no matter where you go, no matter, you know, no matter what happens to you, this guardian angel is going to protect you. You know, that's what she used to tell me. And I always grew up with that. You know, I always grew up with that. And the thing that was crazy is, even to this day, if I don't know how many times in my life I've crossed in the street. You know, when you cross the street, you just don't think. And this happened to me twice in my life. I don't know if this happened to you.
Son, Corey, don't tell me you almost got hit by a taxi.
No, check it out. How did you know? No, but it's weird. It's weird because this happened in my adult life. It's like there's no cars, right? Doesn't say, oh, shit, no car. Let me just cross the street. And all of a sudden, you look left, you look right? And then you cross, you take one more step. Bam, and there's a car like, shoom, just flies. I'm like, oh, man, what made me stop? And then to look left. And then I think of that archangel when my great-grandma used to say, oh, your archangel will always help you no matter what, you know, when you're almost. Like if it's not your time, especially death, if it's not your time, the guardian angel will help
you. So
in those kind of the near-death experiences I had twice, I thought of that. It came right to me, and I'm like, oh, thank you, guardian angel. So I'm like, wait a minute. It's like, wait, I don't believe in angels. Oh, so it's like, it's something that's been ingrained. But I know in I know a lot of people in their homes have angels in the Caribbean culture, you know?
Well, yeah, my grandmother, as well. I grew up, you know, my grandmother I was raised Puerto Rican. My grandmother is from Puerto Rico, and she has an altar inside of her bedroom that has, you know, all of the santos. So she has every single santo that you could possibly have. And then she has, you know, Archangel Michael. And then she had Gabriel. And, you know, those were her things. Like they were what really helped fortify her ideas and her belief systems. So I know I've walked into a lot of my Spanish friends and relatives' homes, and everybody always has a santo here or a santo there. And, you know, they revere these angels and they believe in guardian angels, somebody actually watching over you and protecting you. And then in the same sense, you know, a lot of our Caribbean, West Indian relatives here also believe that when the ancestors pass, you know, that's your grandmother watching over you. That's your tia watching over you. You know, that's your great-great-grandmother watching over you. So they also believe that, or some of them also believe that ancestors, you know, past relatives, family, friends are also, you know, in that same relationship as guardian angels. You know, they can be your guardian angel. Oh, they're in a better place now. They're going to watch over you. They're going to take care of you. You know, those are the things that they say when someone passes on to make you feel comfortable again. So I think that's another way of looking at it, you know, where we may have gone away from the spiritual practices of our indigenous families and histories, saying that, you know, we no longer practice certain things, but we say things like that. And then it's this very, very swift reminder that old practices still take precedence, because, well, why else would my dead grandmother be watching over me and taking care of me if she's not an angel?
Right.
And if she is an angel, you know, then that means that that indigenous practice, that indigenous belief that the dead move on to a spirit realm and become ancestors to take care of us and teach us from, you know, the next life or into the next life, it still partners. It still shows that there's a sense of that reverence in some capacity, but it's not thought of in that capacity. It's just thought of as a nice gesture and kind words.
Yeah. Well, we definitely, with the Spanish, what they witnessed was us heavily into ancestral veneration, you know, keeping bones, the gore, which is a connection to the creation stories. So much stuff going on. And that, you know, when all this started meshing together, this clash of cultures, right? I'm looking for Ramon Panay in his work among our ancestors. He tried his best to learn, right, what he calls idols.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on a second. I'm looking actually at the actual text right now of Ramon Panay, because I just lost the text so much. Oh, my God.
The text was Wi-Fi.
That's it. That Wi-Fi. Hey, I want to go to Area 51, too.
No,
I want to go to
please,
Area
no,
51.
We can't lose you, too. We can't lose you, too. I can't go look for you and Lou and Wi-Fi. I can't. We'll never make it
no,
back.
That'll
we'll
just...
never make it to Monday.
No, but I'll just leave you and the angels, you know. You guys are going
to
chill at the studio. But don't let those demons in the studio.
Well, look, you heard my story from last week. I don't know what might happen.
I know. I'm telling you, this is very much in, you know, growing up, you know, angels and demons and the fight, you know. It's just, well,
yeah.
I know in the beliefs concerning... Okay, this is chapter 10, 11, 12. Their beliefs concerning the wanderings of the dead, of their appearance and what they do. And they believe that the dead go to a place called Wale, on one side of the island called Soraya. And they say that the first to live there was one called Maketaurie Wayala. That's right, Lord of the Dead, the Lord of Wale, home and dwelling the place of the dead. So, let me just read this. Chapter 13. Of the forms that they assign to the dead, they say that during the day, the dead live in seclusion. But at night, they walk around, about for recreation, and eat the fruit called guayaba, or guajaba, which is the flavor of the berry. The guayaba berry. But at night, it changes into fruit, and they have festivals, and they keep company with the living. There you go. Of course, you get to angels, right? The Indians have their method of identifying dead people. They touch the belly of a person with the hand, and if they do not have a navel, they say that that person is opia, which means dead. For they say that dead persons have no navels. And sometimes one who does not take the precaution and lies with a woman of Wabe is mocked. And when he holds her in his arms, she suddenly disappears and his arms are empty. And they will believe this. And when a person is alive, they call his spirit Gwes. When he is dead, Opia. So there's Gwes and there's Opia, the dead. Let me see. And they say that this voice appeared to them often, not in the shape of a man, nor of a woman. They say that there was a man who wished to fight with a spirit, and when he closed with it, it disappeared. And the man flung his arms around a tree from where branches he hung. And all of them, young and old, believed this. They also believed that the spirits appeared to them in the shape of their father, their mother, their brothers, their relatives, or in any other shape. The fruit that they believe the dead eat is the size of a peach. The dead do not appear to them by day, but only by night. And therefore, one who walks about at night feels great fear. Now, that's interesting because when Columbus read that, the Spaniards, the troops, they would attack at night. So I think this might be the closest
they can get to a demon.
Right. So this might be the closest you can get to a demon or something. I don't know. Because they feared. The night feels great fear at night. So I don't know. You know? But because I guess because the dead people kind of tricked them, right?
Right.
But there's one part in it says that when a person is alive, they call his spirit Guis. And when he's dead, Opia. And they say that this Guis appears to them often, now in the shape of a man or in the shape of a woman. And they say that there was a man who wished to fight with a spirit. But when he closed with it, I don't get that part. But when he closed with it, I guess when he got close, it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And the man flung his arms about a tree from whose branches he hung. So he hung by the branches. That's weird. So
that's really weird.
So we definitely have this notion, you know, of spirits, dead and the living spirit. What I know about Gwis is that that's our spirit, you know, or that we're alive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, hold on a second. I just lost my screen. Oh,
no.
My studio screen, I lost. Okay. That is interesting because I can't command the studio. Is this the demons or what? Hold on a second. Did you have any stories growing up of actually seeing an angel or people telling you that you saw an angel?
I've heard a few things of, I guess, what you can consider being those regular stories of, oh, I saw this being who his face wasn't that clear, dressed in all white. And they came at a point where I needed salvation and stuff like that. But I will say, personally speaking, So I've done meditation for a very long time. And from what everybody can see and hear on the show, I am not just your average run-of-the-mill. Every once in a while something spooky happens, and it's coincidence. I actually do have some supernatural abilities. So
okay.
I got to a point in my life where I got very, very heavy into meditation and into crystal healing, certified master crystal healer, certified master herbalist, all of those things. I hold those titles.
Nice.
So I really resonate with energy in different capacities and different ways and charging energy stones and the light of the moon, the power that the moon provides, the power that the sun provides, etc. So one night I decided to sit in my living room in the middle of the night, you know, maybe 1-2 o'clock in the morning. I was just over cleaning at that point. I was cleaning my house and I said, you know what, I'm tired. I just want to lay on the floor. So I put on some isochronic tone waves. I think they were like beta tones or something like that. And I was just like, you know what, I'm going to sit on the floor and I'm going to meditate. I ended up laying down. I lit some sage and I lit some frankincense and I lit did some Copal. And, you know, for the people who do know, Copal is one of those resins that you burn when you want to try and commune with those who have passed on and stuff like that. So I ended up getting mm-hmm. some angel quartz and some Lemurian quartz and a whole bunch of things to open up my crown chakra. And I laid on the floor completely flat and started to meditate. And I want to say within maybe 15 minutes, I fall into this completely deep trance where I felt like I was just in a different realm. And it was what looked like those quintessential ideas of what angels were, but they were huge. They were like gigantic. Like when you think of David and Goliath, and mm-hmm. how, you know, he was so, so large and compared in size comparison to regular human size. That's what mm-hmm. the angels looked like to me. They were huge, and I was so, so small, and they were so celestial looking, but you couldn't see a face. It was blurry. There was no face wow. there, but there was a face there. So I went through that whole meditation process, tried to receive whatever message it was that I received, and then came out of it and scared as hell because I've never experienced anything like that before. I think I actually was burning some, like the, you know, the Archangel incense as well. I was burning one of those because I was told that I have two archangels that are my guardian angels from a medium that I had crossed mm-hmm. paths with years ago. So that was, I guess, the only experience that I personally have had with what could or may have been angels or that angel realm of what they could have been, whether it's heaven or a different realm or a different dimension or a different plane. I don't know. I can't tell you that. Do I think they're in the sky? Right. Absolutely not. Do I think that there is maybe a place that they hang out? Possibly. I mean, we've discussed the ideas of alternate areas, you know, alternate realities and different planes before in the show. So it's possible that maybe there's a plane for where the angels all coincide mm-hmm. and exist together and do their angel-like stuff. But I know, at the same right? time, I could have been tweaking. Who knows? You never know.
Well, I'm going to introduce the seventh angel that if you're Christian, growing up Christian, or even in spiritualism world, this angel is very popular. So I want to give him an intro.
As soon as I hear
okay?
it, I'm going to kick myself.
Who's that? I know I heard something. Rebecca, look at me, I know you are.
Does that give you a little clue who it is?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? Everyone knows
nice.
This angel.
Who's that? I know I heard something. Rebecca, look at me, I know you are.
Everyone knows this angel as the Prince of Darkness, Lucifer.
Lucifer?
Yep.
I was going to kick myself.
I'm trying to give you a spooky music so you can figure it out.
Man, I should have known that.
So that's Lucifer, the fallen angel. And, you know, he was one of the angels, you know, and he wanted to be greater than God, according to the
mm-hmm.
stories, right?
Right.
And God had to banish this Lucifer to the netherworld.
It's like, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's interesting. So I think as humans, you know, we're trying to figure out this place called the world, right, the universe. We're trying to figure out, you know, and this is what I wanted to say last week about the problem of evil, is that this is a huge, huge debate among different religions and different faith
mm-hmm.
traditions, you know, and even spiritual circles. It's like, why do awful things happen in this world? You know, if there is a loving God, if there's a creator or a creatress, why are things allowed? Why do awful things exist? What people call maybe evil or destructive. You know, why does this exist in this world? So I think the early humans asked that question, you know. And so they came up with these great stories, you know, and trying to understand these natures, these energies, right? And these are ancient peoples, you know. They were, a lot of them were nomadic, you know. They traveled, probably lived by the trees, the forests, you know. And I could see those stories, you know. And I could see how parents use this as an advantage to discipline the children.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like, if you go to the forest, we'll never see you again because the creatures will take you, you know. And I don't know how many times probably children, I'm talking about the ancient world, went to a forest or went to a desert, and they were lost and were never seen again. So they came up with these stories, you know, to teach children, you don't go at night. You don't go out at night. I know we were taught the cuckoo. I know I was taught the cuckoo.
I was taught the cuckoo. Yeah. We still talk about the cuckoo. We still joke around with the cuckoo. But is that quintessential, don't you do it or he's going to get you?
You know, I don't know if you can relate to this, but a lot of kids that you may know, but, you know, back in the day, I was raised by my great-grandmother again. I got that old school kind of way, but you know, I have ADHD, you know, and I've learned to control it, you know. And what happened was, at my worst day, I'm very disorganized, very scattered. And what happens is, when I was a little kid, I was all over the place, you know. And the cure for ADHD is a good dose of cuckoo, especially at night.
I mean,
a good dose
of cuckoo instead of a cuckoo taco is much better. I would absolutely take the cuckoo over a cuckoo taco.
That's it, man, you know? So, you know, that was the best medicine for a kid that don't want to go to sleep at night, keeps jumping around because he's so hyper. Shut the lights. El cuckoo te va a coger. Si sigue brincando, el cuckoo's going to get you if you keep jumping around. Right?
Oh, man, it sounds like you're in my house at night talking to my daughter.
Or how about this? During the daytime, when I'm acting all hyper, getting in trouble, blah, 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 my great-grandma will look at me, like, real serious. Like, okay, here comes the beating. But she'll go, esta noche, tonight, algo especial va a pasar. Something special is going to happen. El cuco te va a buscar. You know, the monster will get you, the cuckoo, right? Tonight. I'm like, oh, damn. You know, to this day, man, if I'm alone and it's a kind of a spooky night, I feel it, man. I feel those memories, man. So it's, you know, it's always raised. So I guess, you know, these stories of angels are the good ones, right? The good energies, you know? And then the demons are the bad, the negative energies. It's a good way, you know? I know in the most traditional medicine people will talk about destruction, and they'll talk about construction, the positive and negative energies. So if you're going to build your village in the bottom of a volcano, that volcano is going to erupt one day and it's going to destroy the whole village, right? Or if you build a village by a mountainside during hurricane season, there'll be mudslides, right?
Right.
Or if you build a whole city by a fault line, right? You know, they're going to shake, they're going to move around, they're going to cause earthquakes, like what happened in Borinquen, right? So, you know, we create these stories to understand why do bad things happen to people, you know, why, you know. So, oh, man. So, yeah, so this is the thing. So I think angels fall in that category of, you know, helping us understand. But also I know in Native traditions, you know, we look at totem animals. When we get a dream, we see an animal, that's our guide, that animal guide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes you hear that, you know, about the animals. It's interesting because in Taino,
didn't South American tribes have it too?
Huh?
Didn't the South Americans also have it?
The South Americans?
Their animal spirit guide. Yeah, the South American indigenous people. They had it as well,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Spirit of the jaguar, right? So,
yes.
So here's the thing, man. When I'm trying to think now. I got my frame. So basically, you know, these stories, they all teach something. And as now we know, with climate change, things are getting crazier and crazier and crazier. You know, I remember hearing a story about the Panamanian indigenous peoples. I forget their names. Oh, my God. My memory's going bad today. But the Kuna, the Kuna people. I know, man. You know, the Kuna people, the Kuna. K-U-N-A. They have these stories about rattlesnakes. And they scare the children. And it's a certain season around the springtime that all these rattlesnakes come out by the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach the children these stories about rattlesnakes. That if they go by the river at a certain time, they're going to get eaten by these rattlesnakes. So the kids move away from it, you know. And the elders say these stories for centuries, for generations. And it keeps the children away from the river. Not that they're going to drown, but they're going to get bit by these rattlesnakes. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
With climate change now, those rivers, I guess they supply some certain animals that will go by the water, you know. And
mm-hmm.
then the rattlesnakes will bite those animals, those mammals. Right now, the water is shrunk in Panama. It just totally shrunk. So what happened was those rattlesnakes didn't show up again. They stopped showing up because the mammals stopped showing up to the river. So then, so when they try to teach the children about staying away, it just didn't make sense anymore. So that's how climate change is affecting a lot of these stories, you know.
Right.
So it's quite interesting, you know, but I guess we try to adapt. So angels, demons, as we said last week, you know, the problem of evil, problem of destruction, you know, it's, you know, we need those stories, I guess, to teach us, you know.
Right.
Who was that angel I said? The seventh angel? Who was he?
Who's that?
Lucifer.
Huh?
I said Lucifer himself.
And you know, it's funny, when you mention that name, a lot of people get really scared, right? Just saying the name, right?
Yeah, they do. Just saying the name. And I've had that conversation with people where it was really the question of what is Lucifer compared to what is the devil? You know, in the Bible, they speak about Lucifer, you know, but they don't necessarily talk about Lucifer in the capacity that the Christian faith has created the idea of Lucifer to be, which is this fire and brimstone, red skin, scaly horned being that is evil of all evil. And, you know, I think it's so interesting. Anytime somebody mentions Lucifer, it's super taboo compared to how they're receptive or more receptive when you say the devil or Satan.
Yeah. Or sometimes in Native circles, and you bring up the owl, people are scared of the owl medicine, you know, because it brings about death.
The death bringer.
Mm-hmm. Bad omen.
Right.
You know? So I think, you know, humanity, we figured out a way how to figure things out, you know, when things occur, you know. Well, it looks like Lou Starr couldn't connect to Nate. He's probably hanging out with Spooky Lou somewhere in Area 51, right?
Maybe.
But we'll see next week. I'd like to thank you, Stephanie, Sky, for coming out.
Thank you, Sanakori.
Yeah, man, keeping the power normal, power hour strong, better than ever. Yep. I know. So next week, we're going to see what what we can talk about. We're thinking about, you know, against the Star People. It was a very popular show. I've been getting some questions about the Star People and Taino creation stories, you know. So,
okay,
you know,
good.
We might go back into that, you know, and look at the art, maybe the artwork of Deminan and Itipa Kahubawa, you know, that these are interesting in the art. You look at the art, it's interesting. They're not,
yeah,
they don't look human,
definitely.
You know? They're not humans. But yet,
right.
They created
the
humanity.
People.
But they created
mm-hmm.
humans. These non human
exactly.
entities created humans. So, what is going on? Also, some people want to hear more about like ghost stories in the Taino tradition.
Oh,
so we got
that would be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know I know I heard some stories when I was in Borinquen recently about the spirits hanging out in caves at night or people hearing drums. So I like to share some of that. I'll try to get my cousin.
My mom has stories like that.
Well, you know what? Write them down. We can share them next week. Taino,
right.
Taino
maybe
ghost
I'll
stories.
Maybe I'll have to call them.
Or maybe we can call them Opia stories. Right?
Ah, Opia stories. Opias.
So we're gonna wrap up the
I said Opias by the fire.
There we go. We're gonna do it, man. We're gonna do it. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. If you're listening from Netherlands, thank you. If you're listening from Bosnia, hey, thanks for the download, the listen. We're gonna try to get these countries to call in one day. But their time zone is probably off, but we'll see what we can do. So I like to end the show with this nice song, okay? Ready for it?
You got it.
All right. Take care. Wasawara Taino Radio Paranormal Power Hour.
Who's that? I know I heard something. Rebecca, look, you and I know them. Listen. What's my job? Help me, I need some help. Help me. Oh my God, I heard that. What are you doing?
Don't do that.
I'm so scared. Help me.